Hello, Michael Lombardo here. Welcome to Awaken Podcast. If you are new to the show, we have an episode releasing every Monday on Charisma Podcast Network. You could also go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much anywhere podcasts are listened to and subscribe there. But if you are a frequent listener, thank you so much for tuning in again in 2025. Had a short hiatus last year, but this is episode 248, and we have incredible guests lined up for the future here in 2025. Conversations that will really inspire you, challenge you, equip you to know your identity in Christ and walk in the fullness of your calling and your purpose here in the world for the kingdom of God, for the King of Glory. And so I'm really excited to dive in. What's been on my heart, at least to start this year, and we're going to take it episode by episode. There's going to be, you know, sprinkled in interviews or conversations, obviously. But as I do these teaching shows where, you know, we open up the scriptures together, something that has been on my heart is to equip the body of Christ to live in and from his presence, because this is what we were called to do. This is who we are. Our main calling is to know him and to look like him. And it says in the scriptures that as we behold him, we become like him. So that means we need to live a lifestyle of abiding. In John 15, it says, if we abide, then we will bear forth fruit. He's talking about abiding in Christ, living a lifestyle of communion, of growing in our relationship with God every single day. If you're a Christian, this is what life is all about. Being a little Christ means living the life that Christ lived, and Christ lived in intimacy with his Father. He spent time with his Father in secret, and he also prayed without ceasing, like the Apostle Paul spoke about, all throughout the day, communing with his Father through the Holy Spirit, all throughout the day, listening. He was tuned in. He was seeing visions. He was tapped in. He was walking. He was being compelled by compassion and love. It was this beautiful communion between the Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus lived from that reality. And so as believers, we now have the Spirit of God, and we can be empowered to live that same lifestyle. So for us to be a believer or a disciple of Christ or a Christian, whatever you want to call yourself, those who follow the way, whatever you want to call yourself, we are called to live like Jesus lived. We are called to live in and from the presence of God. And this is the very passion of my life. This is the pursuit of my life. From the first time I experienced the real, tangible, powerful, beautiful, glorious presence of the Lord, I was a drug addict. I was a junkie. I was a rebel. I was a God hater, but I cried out to God in a desperate situation, and I experienced his presence. And I realized in that moment that everything else I was seeking, everything else I was chasing, was merely a counterfeit of what I was born for. I was born for him. I was created by him, and I was created for him, and nothing else will do. I could try to fill that hole on the inside of me with drugs, with relationships, with drinking, with money, with hobbies. I can try to fill that void, but eternity is in my heart. I can't satisfy myself apart from Christ Jesus. I was made by God, for God, right? For him. And if I'm not living in union with him, then I'm lost and I'm unfulfilled. And so this is my heart. I want to see believers living a life of prayer, not only private prayer, but also having it spill over into their everyday life as they're out there and their responsibilities and their relationships, as they're taking a shower, as they're driving the car, as they're doing the dishes, living enraptured by the presence of God, because we have 24/7 access. And so today I'm going to lay a little bit of a foundation and mainly talk about private devotion. I'll be talking about private devotion today, but as we move forward here in 2025, I'm going to be giving very practical tools. So get ready for it. I'm going to be giving very practical tools, because a lot of the times we could be like, all right, that sounds good. That's, you know, that's good theology. I understand that revelation, but how do I apply it? How do I make it applicable? How do I actually flesh this out in my daily life? And so we are going to get there. And there is going to be very practical things on this episode as well. Actually, we're starting with a practical today, but there's going to be even more tools that are going to be released moving forward here. So that being said, in Ephesians 3:12, it says that in Christ, we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. That means we have access to the Father. It says later on in Ephesians, we have access to the Father by the Spirit because of Christ Jesus. One of my favorite words to describe my relationship with God is access. Jesus has made God accessible. We now can walk in a relationship with him, not because of our good works, but because of Christ's good works, because of his finished work on the cross. We now have access to live in union with the living God. And so this is incredible. And as believers, we need to take advantage of this. No wonder why so many of us are living in, in sin and living not just unfulfilled and frustrated. And we're like, why aren't we living what the Bible says we could live? Have you developed a life of prayer? Have you developed a life of seeking him, of reading the scriptures, of meditating on the scriptures? Because this will empower you. It's his presence. It's his word that will empower you to be everything that you are in Christ, to live in victory, to live satisfied, happy, to live fruitful for the kingdom. All right. So this is very important. If we're going to learn anything in this life, I keep saying this at Awaken Dallas because we're going there as a church. We're going there. If we are to learn anything at all, let us learn to pray. Let us learn to abide. May we know him so that we can live for him in the power of his spirit, not in our own flesh and our own devices and our own strength. And so let's talk about private devotion, because we must learn the discipline of private devotion before we could live a life of prayer without ceasing. And we're going to go more into what praying without ceasing is in a later episode. But we must learn private devotion. I'm married. I've been married for almost 11 years now. I'm going on my 11 year anniversary. And so if I did not prioritize private time with my wife, date nights, time alone, apart from the children and apart from family and friends, if I did not prioritize that, then our relationship would suffer. You know, there would be a little bit of a disconnect there. You know, our hearts wouldn't be as warm. We wouldn't be as passionate for one another if we did not have times where she spoke to me heart to heart and we didn't have the distractions of life around us. So I need to be committed to private time with my wife, as well as connecting with her when I'm around people and we have friends over the house. Because I've known my wife for 11 and a half years now, I could look at her and know exactly what she's thinking, exactly what she's feeling in a moment. She could just glance at me, make a certain face. I know exactly what she's trying to say to me, when somebody else might see that face and they might be like, okay, well, what does that mean? You know, but because I know her, I could connect with her in a room full of people. And God wants that kind of relationship with us as well, where we could connect with him in a room full of people. But first, I needed to develop a private relationship with my wife where I spent a ton of time with her and made that a part of my lifestyle so that I can communicate with her in a public setting and be understood and she understand me. Hope that makes sense to you. And so first, we must live a life of private devotion. That is a discipline that becomes the greatest delight of our lives if we'll just learn to do it. But we can't talk about it. We can't just stay in that realm of conviction like, I know I need to pray. I know I need to read the Bible. Do it. Now is the only time that's promised, all right? Time is of the essence here. Like, spend time with him now. If he's drawing you, if he's wooing you, if he's convicting you, get away with him. It's not because he needs it. It's because you need it and he enjoys it. And so let's go on. So many believers, they want to live a lifestyle of prayer and Bible reading. They know it. They're like, I need to be in the Bible. I need to be, you know, but it's got this thing of condemnations hanging over them. Like, I know I need to do it. I know that's what Christians do. Okay, yes, we need to do it. And yes, that's what believers do. We're disciples of the Lord. So we spend time with him and we let his words define us, wash over us, impact us. We learn to live from his thoughts, not our own natural carnal thoughts. All of that is true, but don't you want to taste and see that the Lord is good? Like, you can't hunger for something you've never experienced before. You know, I wouldn't crave Chick-fil-A if I didn't taste and see that it was good, right? So I wouldn't crave a hamburger if I didn't know that it was good. And so we need the taste of him, because once you taste of him, then you will want him. You will crave him. You will know that this is what I want every single day. And so many of us know, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. Okay. But are we doing it? And so, anyways, many of us want the fruit of a powerful Christian life. I want to be walking in victory. I want to be overcoming temptation. I want to be, you know, leading people to Christ, all this stuff. But, you know, the disciples and Jesus himself and the prophets of old, they all had a committed life of prayer with God. It's recorded throughout the scripture, and I'll read it here in a bit, but they prioritized prayer above ministry. They prioritized time with God above the work of God. And because they prioritized prayer and intimacy with the Lord, they were empowered to do good works, not in their strength, but in His. And so we can't, you know, as we crave to do mighty exploits for the Lord in His name, we must first develop a life of prayer, or else don't even expect to do those things. Don't chase ministry. Don't chase the anointing. Chase Him. Spend time with Him first so that you could do it rightly. Okay, so we could desire to live like Jesus lived and to be the Acts church, but are we living a life of prayer like the Acts church? Really analyze, really think about where you're at and how we prioritize so many other things in our life more than time with the Lord. And if you need to wake up earlier, if you need to go to bed a little later, if you need to pause during your lunch break at work, spend time in prayer. All right, so that being said, I'm going to quote two amazing figures in church history. One is Charles Spurgeon. He was called the Prince of Preachers, but he said this: if I rush from my bed, meaning when I arise in the morning from my bed into my daily business without first talking to God, it is as foolish as forgetting to bathe or forgetting to dress, or it's as unwise as dashing into battle without arms and without armor. We are in a war. There are so many things going on around us that are trying to deceive us, harm us, you know, get us off the beaten path. So if we're not beginning our day in prayer, it is just as foolish as going out into war without armor. That's what Charles Spurgeon said. And I believe that. I believe that. Every morning I want to spend time with the Lord. I do. I've developed that discipline in my life. And then it goes on to say, if you ever read The Pilgrim's Progress, there's a John Bunyan, he said this: he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find Him the rest of the day. And I will add to that and kind of do the opposite here. If we spend time with the Lord in the morning, it will be very easy to find Him the rest of the day. That's what I found, that when I start my day in prayer, devotion, scripture reading, being with Him in a conscious way, then I start my day in tune, locked in with the Lord, with Him on my mind, being aware of His presence, being aware of His movements on my heart. And so throughout the day, as I'm going about my life, it's easier to connect with Him, commune with Him, and walk in Him. And so that's very important. My pastor in Jersey, I live in Dallas now, but for years he was my pastor. He went on to be with the Lord. But his name was Pastor David Tinamola. I heard stories of him that he wouldn't speak to any human being until he first spoke with God. So if someone stayed over his house and they woke up early in the morning, they saw him walking around in the kitchen, he wouldn't utter a word to them until he first uttered a word to the Lord. All right, you could take that as legalism, but that was his conviction. And I'm down for convictions, okay? And I'm down for honoring God and for fearing the Lord. And the first word for me, oftentimes, this is how I've developed that, is when I wake up in the morning, before I grab my phone, before I get out of bed, I just say, thank you, Lord. And I'll spend a minute or two there just thanking Him. So He's the first person I welcome in the morning, the first person I speak to. And then I get up and my kids wake me up and they want food and all that stuff. And I might do some practical stuff and then get into prayer after that. And so I want to talk to you about something that I'm just going to gloss over. This could be a deeper study, okay? But this might not be familiar to you. But when it comes to private devotion, I want to talk to you about how the rhythm of the Jewish culture when it came to prayer was, as well as the rhythm of the first church when it came to prayer. And so you might not have heard a teaching on this, but there was hours of prayer in Jewish culture. This originated in Jewish culture. And then the first church, we see it multiple times in the book of Acts, how the first church also abided by this, not legalistically, not like they had to only pray at these hours, but it was a rhythm of prayer in their daily lives. And so there was the third hour, there was the sixth hour, and the ninth hour. And this correlated with when there were sacrifices going on in the temple. So as there were sacrifices going on in the temple, those were also calls to prayer for the Jewish people. And so it's actually beautiful. It's really powerful. But the Jewish people centered their lives around prayer, around their relationship with God. So it wasn't like this is just a side thing. We're going to get our prayers out of the way in the morning. It's like, no, their day revolved around prayer. And they had very specific hours that they would pray and then go about their business. And the third hour was 9 a.m. And the sixth hour was 12 p.m. and the ninth hour was 3 p.m. So they had this rhythm of praying three times a day. All right. And I'm not saying that you got to pray during those hours. Those are, you know, holier hours, or those hours are more special than other hours. We know the Apostle Paul debunked that in the book of Colossians, saying there's days that aren't holier than other days, and there's hours that aren't holier than other hours, because all of it is fulfilled in Christ. And so I'm not trying to legalistically put a yoke on you. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, practically, it's good to develop a rhythm of prayer, of morning prayer and evening prayer especially. All right. And so that being said, I just want to reveal to you that this is how the Jews lived pre the crucifixion of Christ. And this is also how the disciples lived after that. And so I'm going to open up the scriptures, and we're going to see in David and Daniel that they had this rhythm of prayer. So Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17. Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17, this is King David, and he says, "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." So he's saying, in the morning, at the third hour, at noon, the sixth hour, and in the evening, the ninth hour, he said, these are my times where I pray and I cry out to God. And we know that he prayed and cried out to God at other hours as well, but we see here in Psalm 55, and the church at large, from beginning from resurrection of Christ, the first apostles, to church history, hundreds of years later in church history, they took this scripture and they said, this is the rhythm of prayer that we're going to develop in our lives based off of David as well as Daniel. And so Daniel, I'm going to read a passage here, and this is Daniel 6, verse 10. And it goes like this. "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published," not going to get into what the decree was right now, "he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before." So three times a day, Daniel set apart time to give praise to his God. And we know based on history, and we know based on Jewish culture, that it was the third, the sixth, and the ninth hour, okay? And so that being said, let's go into Acts now, because you might be thinking, well, that's Old Covenant. You're right. Again, I'm not promoting that you have to pray at 9, 12, and 3, okay? What I'm encouraging is develop a discipline of prayer. It'll be the greatest, most enriching thing you will ever do in your entire life. I'm telling you. I developed the discipline in prayer my first 3 years of being a Christian. That was my main focus, and I did ministry on top of that. My main focus was develop a lifestyle of prayer and Bible reading. And to this day, it's the greatest joy and delight of my life, the greatest thing I've ever decided to do. And it's reaping dividends right now in my life, in the busyness of life and having a wife and kids and a job and ministry. That is my safe place. That is my refuge. That is where I receive everything I need to go about my busy life. So that's what I'm encouraging. I don't care if it's 6 a.m. I don't care if it's midnight. At least two times a day, at least in the morning and the evening. I want you to get morning and evening down, maybe at your lunch break or whatever, to take 5-10 minutes. I'm not saying 2 hours in the morning. I'm not saying 5 hours in the evening. 10 minutes in the morning and afternoon. So anyways, all right, I'll get off my soapbox there. I get passionate, you can see. But Acts 3:1, this is the first church. This is Peter, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John. It says they were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, at the hour of prayer. All right, so we know that Peter and John, they went to the temple at the hour of prayer. The ninth hour is around 3 p.m. And so they went, and then they met the man at the gate, Beautiful, who was crippled. And then they operated in the miraculous, pulled him up. He was no longer crippled, okay? So a miracle took place as they were going to pray. And so we see in this instance that Peter and John, and they, you know, were reading their epistles to this day. They were the foundation stones of the church, the first disciples and apostles. They had times of day where they had set aside for prayer. And now let's look at Peter again, because Peter in Acts 10, verse 9, it says that he was in a home and he went up to the housetop to pray at around the sixth hour. I like it says around the sixth hour, because it wasn't so legalistically exactly the sixth hour, around noon, but it was around that time Peter decided to go up to a housetop and he decided to spend time in prayer. And so again, he had a specific time that he would get away with the Lord to pray. And what I love about this is that during this time, he received a vision from the Lord. And so while he had his set apart time to pray, he had an encounter with God where he saw a vision of unclean animals coming down. And the Lord said, do not call unclean what I call clean. And that's where he got the commission to go and preach to Cornelius, who was an Italian, who was a Gentile, when the Jews didn't think that the gospel was really for the Gentiles, or they were at least hesitant then to go to Gentiles to preach the gospel. And so during this time of set apart time of prayer that Peter had, he had an encounter with the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, if you want to live a lifestyle of encounters with God, develop a life of prayer. Why am I not hearing the voice of God? Why am I not encountering him like this person or that person? Are you praying? Are you having set aside time with the Lord where you seek him so you can find him? Are you opening up the scriptures because he speaks from the scriptures? Are you worshiping? Are you praising? Are you giving God the space to be able to speak to you? That's my question. Because if we're going about our day and we're hardly thinking about him and we're not giving him any time or opportunity or space, then he's a gentleman. He's not going to come in and control you and speak to you if you're not asking for him to speak to you. And so when we set apart time for him and we have our private devotions to the Lord as a part of our life, then we will have encounters with God. Do you want a lifestyle of encounters? Do you want a lifestyle of living in and from his presence? Do you want to hear the voice of God? Do you want to get revelation from the scriptures? Do you want to live an empowered life? Then have set apart private times of prayer. Am I beating a dead horse? Am I saying the same thing over and over again? Good, because I want to get it in your heart. Now, going along with the same story, Peter gets a vision about the sixth hour when he prays, and God told him to call nothing unclean what he has called clean. And then God sends him to Cornelius, like I said earlier. Now on the, now look at the story unfolding here. Now let's look at Cornelius around the same time that Peter was praying. Cornelius also had a set aside time of prayer. So in Acts chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 3 and then I'm going to skip to verse 30 because it's two times of Cornelius speaking. But Cornelius said this. He said, one day about 3 PM, he had a vision. That was the ninth hour. So about 3 PM, he had a vision and he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. That is when an angel of God came to Cornelius and said to him that there's going to be, go send for Peter because this man of God has a message for you. So he had his time at the ninth hour to pray. And that's when he had a divine encounter. All right. Again, an encounter in our set aside time of prayer. And so an angel appeared to him and said, Cornelius. And then if you go to verse 30, Cornelius answered and said, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 PM. See, the ninth hour is 3 PM. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. So it just expanded on what happened at the ninth hour. It was 3 PM. At the ninth hour, Cornelius was praying and an angel appeared to him. He had a divine encounter with God where God said, I had heard your prayers and I seen your gifts to the poor. Now salvation is coming to your household. And what happened is Peter came, preached the gospel. They believed and the Holy Spirit fell upon Cornelius and his entire household. They were speaking in tongues and the Gentiles are now coming into the fold of God. Woo, so good, so good. So I will close with this. I cannot overemphasize the importance of daily private prayer if you're a disciple of Jesus. It's a non-negotiable. It really is. If you are going to live a spirit-empowered life where you look more like Jesus, talk more like Jesus, act more like Jesus, and you live in the fullness of what he has for you, you must set your heart and your intention on developing the discipline of private prayer. And then from that place, that's a foundation. That's a foundation in our lives. And then from that place, we learn to pray without ceasing. But we're not going to learn to pray without ceasing and welcome him into every moment of our lives and to worship him and praise him in all these different moments of our life if we don't develop that relationship with him in private. That is the first step. And then we build upon it. And so this is what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you, this is the practical, okay? I want to encourage you to come up with two times a day where you spend 10 to 15 minutes with the Lord in prayer and scripture reading. Now, this isn't for God. It's for you. It does bless God. It does honor God. And God does enjoy it. He does. He is looking forward to this time. He's been yearning for it, longing for it, for you to spend time with him. But do it for you. You've been wanting to be used by God. You've been wanting to see miracles in your life. You've been wanting to walk in fulfillment and joy and satisfaction. You've been wanting to hear from God and encounter God. This is where it begins. This is your invitation. This is your invitation right now, children of God, saints of God, holy ones. This is your invitation. It's not to become a better Christian. It's not to gain more favor with God. It's not to be like a superstar Christian. No, it's so that you could learn to walk with him, commune with him, hear his voice, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, bear fruit for the kingdom of heaven, and to be everything that you were made to be and called to be. This is what it's about. So we're going to build upon this. We're going to talk about prayer without ceasing, and I'm going to give you practical tools on how to live a life of prayer without ceasing. And it's going to be, this is the year, 2025. This is the time is now for us to learn to abide in John 15 so that we could really bear fruit. Because if we're not abiding, we're not bearing fruit, at least not fruits of the spirit, maybe fruits of the flesh, not fruits of the spirit, not eternal fruit. Okay. And so I'll bless you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that as they draw near to you, you will draw near to them. As they pull aside with you, you will manifest your presence. Give them wisdom and revelation. Speak to them. But Lord, help them develop this discipline of prayer, private prayer and devotion, so that this could become the greatest delight of their life. It won't even feel like a discipline. It will be a delight. It'll be something they can't live without because it's such a precious jewel in their life. You, the greatest reward. And so Holy Spirit, manifest your presence, empower them to make these intentional choices to set aside 2 times a day, morning and night, or afternoon, or whenever is best for them, to set aside 2 times in the day to worship you, to praise you, to be with you, to read the scriptures, to meditate upon you in your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Do that. Spend time with God. Do it today and pray. God, when is the best times of my day? Be intentional, okay? Set aside 2 times a day. Then you could add 3, and then you could begin building on that with prayer without ceasing, where his presence fills you, drenches you, immerses you all throughout your day because he's accessible. So make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast so we can get it out to more people so they can be blessed, they can be challenged, they can be awakened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I look forward to speaking with you next time on Awaken Podcast. I want to take a brief moment and invite you to Awaken Dallas. My wife and I pastor this church. We planted it in 2023 with a heart to host God's presence, to raise up lovers of him that are compelled to go into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As believers, we're called to be lovers of him, but also laborers in his harvest field. We're called to be worshipers of him, but also warriors that take ground for the kingdom of God. We're called to be sons of God, but also servants of the Lord. And our vision is to know Jesus deeply and to live for him passionately. And our 4 pillars are, number 1, the presence of God. We need him more than anything else. We live in his presence and from his presence, and we're equipping the church to do that. Number 2, equipping. We're equipping you with the word of God. We're equipping you with teaching. We're equipping you through giving you tools and resources to walk in wholeness and fullness in your life, making disciples of Jesus Christ. Number 3, mission. We're a church on mission together, but we're also a church on fire for missions. We believe in going into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you have a heart for missions, you'll feel very at home at our church. There's a lot of people that are missionaries going out on the mission field and have a heart for missions. And number 4, we are a family. As soon as you walk in, you're going to feel that. You're going to sense how the love that we have for one another, the community that's growing. And so if you're looking for a church in the Dallas area, come out, join us Sundays at 10:30 a.m. You can go to awakendallas.com for more information. See you there.